So I feel like we recorded this one quite a while ago, but we didn't put it out. But I think now is a good time. It's not like really anything's changed since then.
No, the world's not going to end soon or anything.
We're good. Zombieland 2 just came out on home video.
It sure did.
Do a zombie episode. Hello and welcome to the Nothing Files. This is Nick.
This is Bria.
How you doing, Bria?
Doing well. How are you?
You know, I am pretty well also. Thank you kindly. So, as we kind of mentioned in the stinger, boy, Zombieland 2 just hit home video.
Yeah, it sure did.
And as we're recording this, obviously, we always have a bit of a delay from when we record to when it comes out. Wish you could be here with us, wish this was live, but we all have our own lives. And all seven of you that are catching up with us, thank you for getting here eventually.
We appreciate you sacrificing your time to soothe your ears with the nice calming sounds of our lovely voices.
Smacky, smacky sounds.
Smacky, slurpy sounds.
And, yeah, so the one neat thing about this, you hearing this after we talk about it, is whether you've seen it or not, the movie Zombieland 2 Double Tap is now available on DVD, Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray, probably some fucking on-demand thing. You can buy it digitally
if you don't like
physical copy.
You could have watched it in a plane last week if you were flying, apparently, according to three customers I talked to over the weekend.
And, you know, I can't vet that, but I have no reason to doubt their veracity.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what a fun movie that was.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Now, are you a fan of the original Zombieland?
Yes. Yeah, and I didn't even realize until we were watching the movie, because I knew it came out quite a few years ago.
Back in 2009.
It did. Yeah, I didn't realize it was 10 years old at the time that they had originally released the movie in theaters.
Yeah, you know, it's a fascinating film. Well, the first Zombieland is just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching some promotory junkets after the film came out. And Woody Harrelson, you know, my Mickey Knox, came out and said in an interview, you know, I've never wanted to do a sequel. Once I've done a movie, I want to put that character away.
Right.
I've never wanted to revisit it. I want to come back to this. I want to be Tallahassee again. And, you know, that made me very hopeful for such a fun film to have a second life, have another film to follow it up. And, you know, they did try about a year or two afterwards to do a TV show.
Right, yeah.
There's a pilot I think you can find somewhere on the internet, but it didn't go anywhere. And then when you have Emma Stone, Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, some
Abigail
really...
Breslin.
Abigail Breslin.
The main one.
Who's in there, but maybe not quite as A-list of an actor as the
sure.
others. These are a lot of schedules to kind of bounce around.
Yeah, and really synchronize.
And I love that they all managed to find the time to make this film. It definitely is very much in the vein of the original. It's fun. It works both as somewhat of a horror film, but a lot more of a comedy film.
Right.
And, you know, watching it kind of got me thinking, zombie films in general uniquely seem to tie into having a comedy counterpart.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure why that is. You know, you go back to George Romero's original Dead trilogy, Night, Dawn, Day. And then, of course, you know, he did a few of them after that.
Did he do, like, Diary of the Dead?
Yeah, Diary of the Dead, I think, was his last one. Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, the original Holy Trilogy really are pretty straightforward horror films. And, yeah, he did, you know, a lot of Night of the Living Dead dealt with sexism and racism in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dawn of the Dead dealing with consumerism. And then Day of the Dead dealing with the military-industrial complex. There's always something else. Sort of subtext going on with his films.
Yeah, theme, yeah.
But he really did sort of give us the template of what we consider the modern zombie film. But then you come shortly thereafter that to Return of the Living Dead, which really was my first exposure to horror comedy.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably mine also. I do kind of personally lump, like, horror camp into horror comedy too, though.
Give me an example.
Like the Evil Dead movies.
Sure, and yeah, I think there's definitely an argument to be made there, and ostensibly the Evil Dead movies sort of are zombie films as
well. Yeah.
If you just look at Deadites, I guess they're more demon-possessed, reanimated corpses. Yeah. But, yeah, the original Evil Dead was not intended to be a funny film.
Yeah.
They were really trying to do their best to make a horror film with a very limited budget that they filmed over the course of, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they edited it. You obviously have just the natural and amazing comedic chops of
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell, thank you. I almost blanked on that one. Sam Raimi is a fantastic director. The just different visual styles that he created, different camera shots, angles, things like that. But they got into the editing bay, they put the movie out, and they're like, God, this could be a pretty fucking funny movie.
Yeah.
And that's why Evil Dead 2 is almost a shot-for-shot remake,
yeah.
But it really plays up for the laughs. They realized what they were good at. But even that said, like, Sam Raimi was called before British Parliament.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this the other
they
night.
They tried to put him on trial for, like, indecency.
Yeah.
So you go back to when these movies were coming out in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And it really was a lot different world, you know?
When did is it Ash versus the Evil Dead? No, that's the TV show.
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, thank you. When did Army of Darkness come out?
I want to say,
because that's definitely intended to be hilarious.
Yeah, Army of Darkness was in 1992.
Okay.
So I do recall, I would have been 13 in 1992. And I remember I'd not seen Evil Dead, I'd not seen Evil Dead 2. But all of the comic books I bought, especially the Image comics, mm-hmm. like Spawn and Bloodspot and all that, had these ads just relentlessly, issue after issue, for Army of Darkness. And I was like, I don't know what this is. It looks pretty cool. There's,
I
like,
assume that Image would have published all the Army of Darkness comics, don't they?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I think over the years,
didn't mean to interrupt,
that intellectual property's kind of moved around a bit from publisher to publisher, sure. But back then, there weren't the comic book tie-ins, necessarily. It was a standalone film. But yeah, that's really what kind of my foray into that was. Like, I grew up, the first horror films I watched, basically, were the Child's Play movies, the early Romero zombie films, mm-hmm. Night, Day, Dawn, Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sure.
Going to the local video rental store, sure, I'd see things like Silent Night, Deadly Night,
mm-hmm.
Prom Night, the Creepshow films.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I didn't gravitate to those as sure. much as I did a lot of the early slasher films. And I even remember being very young, appreciating the Psycho movies. I remember going to Universal Studios and seeing the Bates Mansion
mm-hmm.
and really being like, yep, that's my shit. I'm into this. But I always liked the sort of serial or episodic slasher films.
Sure.
But again, additionally, I really liked the zombie films. Yeah. And I remember watching Romero's movies, and then I was older. I was probably around 14, 15 when I first saw Return of the Living Dead. And it was this fantastic melange of zombie horror film, weird outsider punk rock kind of ethos movie, and I'm sort of slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
And boy, did it resonate with me. And I actually saw that before I saw any of the Evil Deads.
Sure.
I believe I would have seen Return of the Living Dead. Then I probably would have seen the first two Evil Deads and Army of Darkness. Then I think I saw Peter Jackson's Dead Alive.
I almost called it Brain Dead, but
that's, Brain Dead's the international title for it. And it really has kind of become of interest to me because you look at like sort of horror comedies and that. There's The Goonies, I think, to an extent, is kind of a horror comedy.
Horror? I guess I wouldn't. I guess I wouldn't categorize that in horror so much.
I don't know. Maybe it's suspense. I always kind of looked at it as
thriller,
horror adjacent.
Sure. I think thriller is a good way to categorize horror adjacent.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
Thank you.
Monster Squad.
Yeah.
I think kind of a coming of age horror comedy. I'd say the same thing about The Lost Boys.
Sure.
But all these films, like, really deeply resonated with me. Maybe not more so than the abject slasher films of the time, but definitely on par. And I do find it interesting, and this is kind of what I want to discuss today, like, what do you think it is about zombie films that makes them so adaptable to a comedy feel?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even, I guess I'd say recently, but not significantly recently, Shaun of the Dead is a movie that, while the rest of these, I would say, have been horror films that have comedy elements,
yeah,
I would call that a comedy film with horror elements.
Yeah.
And so why do you think that we see so much of this crossover within these two genres?
I think it's multifaceted. One of the first things that comes to mind when I think about it is just the zombie, like the idea of a zombie. More so like the slow kind of trudging ones really are like a comedic villain, if that makes sense. You know, like how is it that people can't outrun these things that are just trudging along and they have no brain and, you know, like they can't really interact with their world outside of moving forward. All they want to do is eat, but they don't know how to do what they want to do, if that makes sense. I think it really pairs well with the comedic aspect of like, yeah, these things are taking over the world. Somehow these things that move at less than a mile an hour are just taking over the world and nobody knows how to stop them.
Well, that's the swarm. Like, a single zombie is, like you said, kind of laughable.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I mean, it is the tsunami.
Yeah.
There's not one. There are thousands. And while they're potentially worthless on their own,
here they come.
in the swarm. And, you know, different zombie movies have kind of dealt with that and evolved the zombie over the years. I mean, what they did in 28 Days Later with the aggro zombie.
Yeah.
And how they even readapted aspects of that into the remake of Dawn of the Dead. You know, with stronger, faster, smarter, more aggressive zombies. Mm-hmm. And now you even see in popular culture, like in Zombieland 2, where they sort of classify these different breeds of zombies.
It really reminded me of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
With the witches and the tanks.
Yeah, the smokers and, you know. It's fascinating because you really can, unlike werewolves, vampires, mummies, whatever, sort of your classic horror trope villains, zombies kind of are a blank canvas. What do you need it to be for the story at that mm-hmm. point, you know? And I think that works really well, is that character. Oh, yeah, no, this strain of the zombie virus, this thing's basically immune to everything. It can punch through walls. Like, it's mutated its strength. This is a big fucking uber zombie thing. Versus, like, okay, we need our heroes to get away. This is just the horde. Yeah, they're big, but they're kind of dumb. Put some zombie guts on yourself. You can probably walk with zombie too. Like, oh, that guy's a zombie too.
Just leave him alone.
He's walk through the troop. Head down to the pub, have a pint, wait for it all to blow over. And I do think that's why, and a reason why you see so much crossover, more so than maybe with other films. And that's not to say that other horror films haven't necessarily played around with humor a bit. I mean, definitely the Child's Play movies that I mentioned, you know, Chucky, Charles Lee Ray was a little bit kind of game show host. And definitely liked the puns, you know. They tried to build a bit of humor in that. I think one of the biggest examples of humor and horror would be in later movies, what they did with Freddy Krueger. Again, game show host Freddy, like, making the jokes. If I tilt. And I always really enjoyed that. There's a lot of horror fans that say, no, I want my slashers evil and pure. The horror stuff, the humor stuff takes me out of it. And from my perspective, it's always been the opposite of that. I think if you're telling a compelling story, a good amount of humor can help break up the pacing of your film.
Yeah.
And especially in horror, it can lend you into a bit of a false sense of security.
Yeah.
Before a big scare, before a big whatever. But, I mean, even again, we have Return of the Living Dead playing while we're recording this. This is not a movie that really in any way takes itself seriously. This is a movie that understands, like, a lot of horror fans are outsiders. They're probably more metal fans, D&D fans, punk rock fans.
Nerds.
So let's make a horror film where basically they're the protagonists. Let's take what George Romero built upon with his original zombie films, and rather than making it statements on aspects of society or Western civilization in general, let's just have it be about, like,
these outsiders that are...
Yeah, here's some weird fucking kids and a couple of weird fucking adults during an out-of-nowhere zombie outbreak.
Yeah.
Is it still a good film? Hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
It's fun as shit. The tropes that it brings up, and that a lot of zombie films bring up, I think, kind of bleed into one another. And that's what really, to me, makes it fun. Going into it, you sort of know the ground rules. And usually, you know, in Romero's universe, destroy the ghoul, destroy the brain. Not always like that in every zombie film. I mean, we just saw in this one a pickaxe go through a zombie's skull and then it get decapitated and its body's running around.
It's still very much alive.
So maybe, you know, you need a little bit more in these films to kill the zombies, but I get going into what it is. I don't need a lot of exposition. I don't need a lot of backstory, you know.
It's just really been globally established at this point in time. Like, this is what a zombie is. This is what a zombie movie is going to be. Here's this new story on top of that architecture.
And yeah, I think that really is one of the main reasons why this sort of cross-genre population works so well. Do you have any other examples of sort of horror movies that maybe subverted your expectation, or horror genres that have maybe intermingled a bit that have stood out to you?
I've been thinking about a way, or like trying to come up with a way to incorporate iZombie into this, because it's very much like a crime drama comedy TV show, but this chick is a zombie. And I think that I haven't read the comic books, and I do want to.
Yeah.
I've seen the majority of the first season. And I think it's a really unique way to take the zombie trope and place it on top of something that's generally really popular, and like take the normal, like, this is what a zombie is, and over whatever.
To an extent, it's kind of Veronica Mars, but she's a zombie. And I like that they take, well, it's a case of the week.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and I like that they take this whole thing about her being a zombie. And for the most part, basically, as long as she eats, mm-hmm. she's kind of like a regular person.
Yeah.
And I like what they add in iZombie is, well, if she eats someone's brain, she gains kind of some of their memories and mm-hmm. personality aspects. And that's how they solve these case of the week things.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, I wanted to do the zombie thing based off Zombieland 2, because pretty much for the last 10 years, zombies have really permeated pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be kind of the Romero films. Sure, if you want to look at 28 Days Later, that definitely fits in, even though they're kind of more rage monsters.
Yeah.
You've got Stephen King writing his first zombie book with Cell back in like 2006, I want to say. Zombies really for about, I would say that 2000s kind of ruled pop culture to an extent.
Sure.
And a lot of that was The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, when the books originally came out. But I know that the TV series started in, like, probably 2011, 2010.
So the first episode of the Walking Dead television show came out in on Halloween in 2010. So that would mean the comics.
Comics have been around for quite some time before that, though, haven't they?
I believe so. I'm actually fairly certain of it. So the show started in 2010. The comics began in, well, actually, began in 2019, July.
Oh, did they? Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, no. Sorry, that's when it did. October 2003.
Okay.
It ended in July 2019.
They predated the movies by about 7 years.
Yeah, and I remember the comics coming out, hearing good things about them. I bought the first, probably 18 collected issues, something like that. Yeah, 16 maybe. Yeah, we've got
probably one omnibus's worth of issues.
we have like 3 omnibus's worth of issues. So, I liked what Robert Kirkman was doing. A real gritty black and white sort of zombie story from following one man's perspective.
Yeah.
And him coming in and out of leadership. I'm not going to say that it's written particularly well, but I found it very compelling. And then in 2010, the show hit the TV on AMC. And I thought, oh, my God. Fucking network TV zombie show. Fantastic. Want to say I watched the first 3 episodes or first 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And then I gave up on it.
Yeah, I think that's about where I stopped, too.
If you would have told me back when I was an 18-year-old that the number one show in the country would be a zombie show and that I wouldn't care about it, I'd tell you you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But I found it so uncompelling. Like,
it was just very pedantic.
It was so slow.
Yeah.
It was so slow. You would watch. And again, back then, I was a full-time student and I was the general manager of a restaurant.
Yeah.
So I had a lot going on. But, you know, I would carve out this hour a week or so to watch The Walking Dead and nothing fucking happened.
No.
You'd watch an entire season and maybe there would be 2 episodes.
It'd be 3. It would be the first episode. It would be the mid-season finale.
Oh, the season break. Yeah.
And then it would be the finale. Yeah, I think I may have watched through season 4 or 5. We looked this up once and saw what the season breakdown was. And I know I stopped watching when, oh God, his name just completely.
Rick?
No. The guy with the bat with the barbed wire.
Negan.
I stopped watching the season that he came in. Because okay. I watched.
You made it farther than I did.
I watched him kill somebody, and I won't, for spoilers, I won't.
It's Glenn.
All right. So I watched him kill Glenn, and that was the last episode.
You made it a lot farther than I did. So I'd read the books basically up until Negan arrives.
Okay.
And that's around the time that I just gave up on the books. Not that they're particularly bad, but they're decent comic books. If you like them, fuck yeah. They kind of stopped capturing me. I don't have as much free time as I used to, so I sort of let them get by me. With the show, they made it to whatever the place was that made it seem like it was Sanctuary, and then they were actually cannibals.
Oh, yeah.
But what
that was before Negan.
Yes.
Yeah.
What really bummed me out about the show, again, nothing fucking happened. And it's not like it was written necessarily better than the comic, but I think the comic delivered a lot of things a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, in the comic, you understand, at least from my interpretation, Rick Grimes and his whole, like, I don't want to be a leader. No one else can be a leader. I need to make these choices. And you see the losses that he incurs and his victories, and you're there with him for it. And then in the battle of the prison, when the governor shows up to exact vengeance on Rick and his flock, you see Rick really lose some shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at this point in the comics, Michonne and Rick and Glenn have been taken hostage by the governor.
Yeah.
Because Rick won't give up the location of his settlement, the governor cuts his fucking hand off, mm-hmm. like his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
This is early in the comic.
Yeah.
The year that the governor was introduced, he was awarded or voted or whatever, like the number one comic villain of the year. The governor in the comics is a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
He basically like tortures and rapes Michonne. It's this whole thing.
Ugh, the only part of the comics I remember is when she gets payback on him.
Yeah.
And she just rips his fingernails out one by one with a pair of fucking
nails his dick to the fucking ground.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much pay out there. So then when the governor shows up with his troops, you know shit's going down. And Lori and the baby trying to run away, and the governor just shotgun blasting, atomizing both of them. Rick has lost something. And, you know, the whole gang is scattered. It's just Rick and Kyle. And as they're continuing to kind of go about their way, you keep finding landlines ringing and Rick answering the phone, and it's Lori. And they talk, and, you know, it's completely unexplained. And then Rick and Kyle.
If you can read the themes, you can just be like, oh, he's going crazy.
And yeah, Rick and Kyle run into Michonne, and they're traveling, and Kyle gets a bit up the road, and Rick looks at Michonne, and he's like, you know, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm fairly certain I'm losing my mind. And there's kind of a beat, and she looks at him and says, you know, with everything going on, we're all losing our minds. I'd be more worried about you if you weren't. And that's how they fucking address it. And it's so human and so real. I'm like, yeah. No, like, all this fucking shit, like, everything you guys, you're, every minute of your life is potential death.
Yeah.
Not only from the undead, from humans, like, everything is fucked up. This is pretty goddamn good storytelling.
Yeah.
I like what you're doing here. I never got that in the show. Rick barely fucking does anything. He's like, I don't know, maybe we should go to this prison. Jeez, like, let's go over there, I guess.
I just remember him going absolutely nutso in season two.
For no reason.
For no reason.
They don't. And then he's like, I'm not going to lead anymore. I'm going to be a farmer. You guys do your thing. I'm going to be a farmer. Carl, oh. You and I were going to. We found some mung beans. We're going to plant them. We're going to feed the people. It just is a rough fucking show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you would have told 18-year-old me, fucking give it 12 years. Number one show in America is a zombie show. You don't fucking care. I don't know that I'd buy it. Maybe if I got to watch it, I'd buy it.
Here's a nice preview, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck, this is rough. So, yeah, you know, kind of horror in general has really flirted weird with the pop culture. I mean, you go back 15 years ago and the whole vampire craze.
Yeah.
You know, you had that sort of start with, like, back in the 90s, them making Interview with the Vampire and then Queen of the Damned, you know, like, oh, vampires are kind of sexy.
Yeah.
You have the Wesley Snipes Blade movies where you're like, oh, Triple H is a vampire and he has a vampire Pomeranian. That's pretty fucking hot, too. And Ryan Reynolds playing not Blade, but, or not, sorry, not Deadpool, but Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, in the third one, yeah. Like, you know, vampires were getting kind of hot. Vampires were getting kind of sexy. And then they did Twilight, and it's like, oh, that people don't get vampires.
But that was still a huge craze.
Huge craze.
Huge craze.
Not good.
not great, but all, like, the same people that, not to categorize or label anybody, but the same people that generally liked the Twilight thing happen to also be very obsessed with Walking Dead. I think it's
a there a lot of crossover there?
There was. Yeah. I worked at Hot Topic. There was a lot of crossover there. We sold both.
I want a Team Edward shirt and a Daryl Dies We Riot shirt. Yeah.
I'm going to get a Team Edward backpack and hang my Rick keychain off of my Team Edward backpack. There was a lot of crossover. And I think if I were to have to choose one personally, I would choose The Walking Dead because it was written better.
I would choose anything over Twilight.
Yeah. I will say when Twilight was prior to the movies coming out, when Twilight was still just a book series, like still releasing books, I was of the age that I did enjoy Twilight, at least relatively. Yeah, I know. But I got over it. It's fine. Anyway, the point I was going to make was that I feel like Twilight and The Walking Dead, the TV show and the movie and the books, but the TV show for The Walking Dead specifically, are like a really vanilla
kind of horror light.
Yes. Like, I don't know that anybody that you would not normally associate liking horror read The Walking Dead books because they're significantly darker than the TV show. But I think it's like dipping your toe into the pool of horror and being able to be like, yeah, I'm a horror fan without actually having to do any background reading or watching or anything.
What to you defines a horror fan?
I don't know. Somebody that likes more than Twilight or The Walking Dead.
So do you think that someone that just watches sort of the October horror movie releases, like whatever Saw movie comes out that year, Paranormal Activity, but like that's their thing. In October, they're going to go to the theater, they're going to watch whatever fucking thriller.
And they don't watch it the rest of the year?
Well, I don't know.
If it's like a...
I'm talking filthy casuals.
And they're casual horror fans. We're not gonna shit on fans.
I'm not. I'm just wondering, you know, we've kind of talked a bit about horror fandom. And I don't know. I'm always constantly seeking, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, I never liked really the Paranormal Activity movies.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a place for the Saw films, but like a lot of franchises that go that long, it really gets up their own ass. Out.
Yeah.
And you know, to be completely honest, as horror elitist fans that we try and present ourselves as, the majority of contemporary horror films that you and I have watched over the last 4 years, we have not enjoyed.
Us. Yeah. Yeah. This Zombieland 2 would be the first horror movie. I tried to say movie and film at the same time. Milm. I'm gonna coin that, TM. That's mine. Thank you.
It's a horror movie I'd like to fuck. It's a milm.
Oh, gross. Zombieland 2 would be the first horror film that I can think of in a while. We liked It too.
We liked it too.
So those three are the first three, like the only three that I can think of in like the last 5 years that I can think of off the top of my head. I know there's more, but like all of them.
No, really we liked It Follows. We liked what's the first not Us, the one before that.
Oh. Shit.
Yep, shit. We like that one.
We're gonna have to do an entire episode on Us because I liked Us and you did not like Us.
I like all of us except for the last 10 minutes.
And it's really
maybe 20 minutes.
It's really interesting. So I got flagged over, literally, like, they asked me to come over and talk to them by some customers the other day. They were having an argument at the bar, and it was a pair of regulars. So it wasn't like these random customers, but this couple was having an argument at the corner of the bar, and they were like, okay, look, we are arguing over whether or not Us was a good movie. Did you see Us? I was like, yes. And they're like, okay, did you like it or not? I was like, I liked it, but my boyfriend did not. And I explained our different views on it. And like, I aligned with the woman and you aligned with the man, like in similar opinions as to why we didn't like the movie. Like, I just enjoyed it. I understand your point, but I'm like, whatever, it's a great movie. And he had the same point that you did, and he said it ruined the entire film. So, anyway, Jordan Peele's first thriller was Get Out.
Get Out. And that one I won't say boo shit about. That's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. Really modern, unique take on horror. But again, it follows doing hookup culture and STD and shit is a horror film. Loved it. But man, Hereditary, fuck, movie sucked.
Yeah, we didn't like it. The Witch, we really didn't enjoy.
I've gone back and rewatched The Witch like twice after we saw it in theater. So I'm like, what have I missed? And again, I can't remember if we've gotten into this recording or not. Like, sure, if the movie is allegory to basically like what societal demonization meant to a family back then, like if you didn't fit into your sort of conservative township and you were ostracized, the devil was isolation, you know.
I understand the themes. Like, I understand.
I don't know if that's the fucking theme. Like, because they don't come out and say it. It's just this guy.
Well, and they shouldn't have to come out and say it.
But you don't need to come out and say it, but you need to at least hint at it enough that I fucking get it. Like, the movie basically starts out where it's like, this guy kind of seems maybe like he's too pious for the society or whatever.
Sure.
And they kick him and his family out, and they go to the woods, and they're bad at it. And then.
And they're bad at it.
Yeah. And then, like, they're like, the twins are all fucking weird. And they're like,
I legitimately think
we have a black goat, and it's fucking Black Pete. Or no, wait, that's the Dutch thing. Schwarz Pete. Black Philip. Much less racist.
Jesus.
And the Dutch are very racist.
Okay.
And then, yeah, like,
not to generalize the Dutch.
Schwarz Pete. I mean, come on, fuckers. So, yeah. And then it's like, okay, is there the devil? Is there not? And then this whole time, it's like, you don't fucking know. They're kind of dancing around it. But then like, oh, no, it's the devil. The goat's the devil. The girl's going to dance with her fucking coven. And I'm like, well, don't elude that there's this. Room for interpretation within the film, and then be like, but there wasn't. It's the devil.
It's
simple storytelling.
I think that the theme that you declared, personally, that's the theme that I read. I just think that it was so slowly played. I fell asleep in the movie theater.
You did.
I was just, like, it didn't capture me. It was just really drawn out. And, like, I appreciate the theme and, like, what they're trying to convey. But I just think, like, I don't understand how it was perceived as a scary film. Like, there are people that were actually scared by the film. And maybe it's just we have thicker hides than other people. I don't know. But I just.
No, there's been a lot of.
I understand what they were trying to portray, but it just. I don't think they.
There's been a lot of films recently that have sort of played off this, like, the most terrifying film in the last 10 years. You know, I remember we went to Green Inferno.
Yeah.
I think that was an Eli Roth joint, normally like.
It was the Cannibal Holocaust sequel.
No, it wasn't a sequel to Cannibal Holocaust. They just compared it to it.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. No, there was just, if you found the movie Cannibal Holocaust disturbing, this movie will make you shit your eyeballs out your face.
And I was like, "Ooh, I want to shit my eyeballs out my face. That sounds nice." Back in 82 or whenever fucking Cannibal Holocaust came out, like, that movie was actually under investigation because of the they did.
They thought the director actually killed those people.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's time for that rigmarole again.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, the whole thing is like, oh, you're eating out of a bowl with the vegan's tattoo on it. That's how you know you're eating people. Everything's the worst. I remember us going to the theater and I'm like, you know what I was ready for? And I'll say this. The last time I felt uncomfortable in a theater at a horror movie was fucking House of a Thousand Corpses.
Sure.
You know, God damn, was that movie perverse. And the timing and shot choice that Rob Zombie used when fucking Bill Moseley, Otis, has that sheriff or deputy sheriff or whatever down on his knees in the backyard. And they do that long pull out crane shot with him with the gun to his head. And it's just fucking silent. You know, that nothing happens in the theater for it seems like 17 fucking minutes. I mean, I'm sure it's like 2 minutes, but it like you can feel your fucking beard grow. It takes so fucking long. And then just the slow motion fucking gunshot.
Yeah.
And you see the cartridge eject. And it's like everyone, you hear all this uncomfortable coughing. Everyone in the fucking theater is like, I don't.
Fuck.
And this got really real. I get that these guys are evil, but this feels dirty and greasy. Like I was like, fuck yes. Fuck yes. This is a visceral horror reaction. And I mean, it's been since, what was that? Like 2004, 2005?
Yeah.
Maybe 2006, but it's been that long since I saw a fucking horror film in the theaters where I was like, oh, everyone here is just uncomfortable and no one wants to look at the screen and no one wants to acknowledge each other because it's somehow like filthy to even be a fucking part of this. And then you get these movies like fucking, Green Inferno and shit that are like, if your neighbor sees you, you should kill him so he knows you haven't watched this film. You filthy fuck. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking do that again. Like, it's all just fucking CGI and shit. You know, like, I don't want to see this shit in real life, but, like, give me a fucking scenario. I mean, the original Last House on the Left and shit where you're just like, or I spit on your grave.
Ugh.
Fuck me dead. Greasy fucking movies.
I would say I Spit on Your Grave is one of my top 5 favorite horror films.
And it's so unfucking comfortable. Yeah,
it is. And just like they cut out all the music and just the crow. And,
yeah. No, just sit here in the moment. There's nothing to take you out of it. Deal with what's happening, fucker. You know, like, and again, that's what I think Zombie did a great job with in House of a Thousand Corpses. Just that, like, live in this fucking moment. Yeah, this movie will get weird. Like, well, and, okay, all the Dr. Satan stuff gets weird, but like the whole like, run, rabbit, run. Run, rabbit, run! You know, like, fuck me dead. That shit is, it's visceral. It's engaging. And I really like that. And there's been this whole spate lately of films where, Green Inferno, fucking Hereditary.
We haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to assume Midsommar's probably in it.
Yeah, Midsommar, I think, is the same people that did Hereditary.
They are, yeah. I'd like to see that. I want to see if I enjoy that more than Hereditary, but I've heard less good reviews about Midsommar than I have about Hereditary.
Yeah. And it's these kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to call them hipster. I don't know what they fucking are.
I don't know.
Like, Hereditary, what the fuck was scary about it?
Yeah.
You know, and again, we went to that because the previews like the first movie more twisted than The Exorcist. I'm like, I fucking love The Exorcist.
Yeah.
All right. Kick ass. We're going above and beyond The Exorcist. Like, let's fucking do this shit. And then it's like a girl with probably the actress has some kind of different birth defect thing. So you shouldn't talk about that because that's not cool. But is she possessed? You don't know. She is. OK. And there's a dad. And he's like the main
kind of maybe not fucked up one. So he's going to represent the out of nowhere. We killed him. All right. Like
he's on fire.
Consequence free. The dad is fucking dead. Like, how are things going with the weird son that headbutts things? And like, seems like maybe he can. Okay. No, his story doesn't matter whatsoever. Nothing in this film fucking matters. The film, like everything is basically the same at the end of the movie as it was at the beginning.
But I mean, it's not. Everybody's dead and
but nothing headless. Fucking means anything.
Yeah. I'd like to revisit that, knowing what the theme of the movie is and just like knowing the outcome so I can like see the ticks and everything. But I still like during the movie, I felt like there were too many plot holes and not enough payoff.
There was so much shit. I mean, how many times on the drive home were we like, if they would have done this at this point, it would have been fascinating. Yeah. You know, think of like Rosemary's Baby. You know, the whole time Roman Polanski's masterpiece, Rosemary's Baby, the whole fucking time they're hinting like something's wrong. What's going on? This is kind of like 1970s. The elites, you know, living in their apartments in New York. And then at the end, they're like, straight up, you were fucked by the devil. You're having the devil's baby. Like, your whole fucking housing complex is in on it. Yeah. Like, weird old Jew lady down with the devil. You know, you're like, what the fucking shit? It had the balls to just be like, yeah, you know what we were hinting at? But we're like, that's probably not the case. She's probably just crazy. No, it's the fucking devil. Your entire housing unit is this satanic fucking cult. Doesn't matter how rich and white you are, motherfucker. You're having the devil's baby. This shit's happening. No one's riding in at the end to fucking save your ass. Fucking Beelzebub rises. Fuck you. I'm like, oh my God, that's, wow, that is bleak. You guys just went for it. Kick ass. You know, and again, like, that's what I've always liked in horror. Like, fucking embrace it.
Yeah.
You know, and it, as much as a lot of people, bizarrely, in my opinion, shit on, like, the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, the Friday the 13th movies. Oh, you know, the killer's going to come back. Yeah, I want the fucking killer to come back.
Yeah.
I want the killer to come back every fucking time. That's thread that brings me through it.
None of the movies that we watch in the last fucking 30 years would be around without those films.
Yeah. They really helped set the public zeitgeist to lean a bit more towards horror. And I don't want to see, you know, these movies don't work when the actors drop out. Like the Hellraiser movies don't work without Doug Bradley. The Friday the 13th movies, that's a lie. The Nightmare on Elm Street movies didn't work without Robert Englund. The reason the Friday the 13th movies continue to work is because it's a guy in a fucking hockey mask. Mm-hmm. Same reason you can keep doing the Halloween movies. It can be fucking anyone. Doesn't need to be Dave Prowse under the suit. Anyone's Darth Vader. You know, you create these kind of Jaws style unstoppable fucking killers like Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers, and you can just fucking roll with it.
Yeah.
But you create a killer with some personality like Doug Bradley's Pinhead or Robert Englund's Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. Maybe it takes a little bit more. You might actually need a fucking actor to do that. And bizarrely, maybe an English trained actor. not quite sure what they're doing at Juilliard, but evidently they're really,
they're showing really going you, above and beyond for like the sociopathic.
Exactly. I mean, even the Saw films were always better when you had Jigsaw.
Yeah.
What's it?
Don't ask
Toby
me, don't
Hooper.
Know.
I can't recall. But yeah, like, I don't know. I always have hope for upcoming horror franchises. And again, if Zombieland can teach us anything, man, just keep making fun zombie films.
Yeah.
You can make them lighthearted. You can make them kind of fucking dumb, but they can still have heart and they can still have character development and have things that draw in both, I think, casual and hardcore fans. You know, I don't think there's been a fucking good vampire movie. Maybe Let the Right One In back in 2007 or some shit.
What We Did in the Shadows was made into a movie in the last 5 years.
What We Did in the Shadows was a movie. It's been made into a show recently.
Touche. Okay, that's what I meant. Sorry.
And yeah, that's some really good vampire comedy by way of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of another vampire film that's come out recently.
You know, Blade is
coming eventually.
Going to be coming out. The Morbius.
Yeah.
Trailer from Sony Spider-Man Films just released.
I would definitely categorize that more as a superhero film, though.
Still, Jared Leto plays Marvel's vampire.
Yeah.
But
that isn't, it hasn't been released yet.
I don't know if there's been another vampire film recently.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch The Babadook?
I didn't, no.
I've heard
mixed reviews.
Such mixed things about it. And I tried to watch it once, and the kid annoyed me so much, I turned it off.
Yeah, and you know how I feel like about children in movies, usually.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Completely unrelated, but I do want to give a shout-out to this, as long as we're doing this. I've been going through our Blu-rays and that, trying to get rid of some things. And I watched a film that I probably bought 2 years ago that I've never watched. Not a horror film whatsoever. Oh, yeah,
this is entirely unrelated. Okay.
Completely. Man, The Imitation Game.
With Bumbledick Snickersnatch.
Yep. yeah. Bumblefuck ticker tape. So fucking good. Dr. Strange plays Alan Turing during World War II. What?
It was Jinx. You owe me a soda.
I don't have that kind of money. Alan Turing during World War II, he's this scientist and he's aspy as fuck. And he's basically trying to, he's hired by the British government to break the Germans' Enigma code.
Uh-huh.
And he's weird and he's gay and he's autistic or has Asperger's or some shit. And it's painful and it's beautiful and it's historic and it's a character piece.
It's literally everything you've ever wanted. You, as in Nicholas.
Yep.
Everything you've ever wanted in a movie.
Autistic, gay, about World War II. Exactly.
Yes.
Loved it. Loved it. I also love, I'm recently not a big fan of commercials, but I like when things tie into my interests. I've started to see different commercials featuring the Ghostbusters.
Oh, really?
Which gets me more and more excited about the new Ghostbusters film coming out.
I don't know if you caught it, but I got a giggle and I didn't hear you react. But can I spoil Zombieland 2? Just like the...
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay, maybe spoilers? I don't know. Bill Murray does a cameo in it.
Oh, at the end of the film.
But it's at the end of the film and he's in this like press junket when everybody is turning into zombies and stuff like that. And he smacks one over the head and goes, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts," and keeps going on. Sorry. It made me think of that. It was really funny. It's making me really sad seeing Bill Murray get so old, because sad old gray men make me really upset, and he's just getting into that age, and it's real hard.
It's a fantastic film. So I think the thesis of this that we can really come away with is that Zombieland 2 is fantastic. And, you know, just check it out. Have fun with it. I don't know, man. There aren't a whole lot of super great horror films coming out these days.
There's too many horror films that take themselves too seriously and not enough that take themselves seriously enough.
So go out there and if we've mentioned films that you haven't seen, especially movies like Return of the Living Dead and Dead Alive, do yourself a favor and track them down.
Return of the Living Dead has so many fake tits in it. So many.
It only has Leona Quigley's tits
in it.
Yeah,
but like all the time. Every time I look up, she's still naked.
Yeah, no, Trash is getting naked again.
That's, so, you know, it's got a little bit of everything for everyone.
A fantastic soundtrack.
Really, it's a great film. It's one of the first horror films I think I ever saw. And still resonates with me. I still really enjoy it.
You know, it's a horror film where people that like leather and chains and 45 Grave and the Damned can say, finally a horror film that speaks to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, branch out. Go outside of your comfort zone. both Conjuring movies I love.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the spinoffs. Wait, what am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Are the Conjuring ones the one about the family that does the exorcisms and shit? And then, like, Annabelle came off of them and shit?
Yeah.
So there's only Conjuring 1 and 2.
Oh, I thought there was 3.
But no, then there's, like, Annabelle Rising, Annabelle on Spring Break, Annabelle's South American Adventure.
Ooh, The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It, comes out this year.
I can't wait. I love those movies.
The Nun. That's what I was thinking.
The Nun comes off of again, they're all extensions.
Is Insidious an extension of that?
No, Insidious is its own thing. Oh, and there's like
it's
three of those.
It's just in the also searched for.
What's the other one I really like? The Last Exorcism?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, the Exorcism of Emily Rose?
No, The Last Exorcism, okay. I think, or the It's the one where it's the shyster priest. Yeah. The Last Exorcism.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that poster.
Yeah, he basically is like this. It came out in 2010. He's this kind of like fake priest that gets called in by this farmer because his daughter's possessed or whatever. And it ends up being very Rosemary's Baby, because, like, he does all of his shyster shit pretending to exorcise this girl. And then it turns out she's actually possessed, and they go back there and you find out, like, the whole town's the satanic cult.
Sure.
And him and his film crew get that, murdered. Yeah. Oh, my God. I could watch that fucking shit every day of the week. So good.
Speaking of going out of your comfort zone to tandem, not tandem, segue.
Tangent.
Yeah. Where are we going to be when this episode releases next week?
When this episode releases next week, we will both likely be in jail because we have decided that we do not believe in the current impeachment hearings. And we are going to Washington, D.C. to advocate on behalf of our president, Donald John Trump.
I'm going to vomit.
By any means necessary.
I'm going to vomit. How dare you? How dare you?
Nah, man. Fuck that prick. We're going to Las Vegas, baby doll.
Viva Las Vegas.
Yep.
We decided it was too fucking cold here.
Bria has never before left this area code. And
I mean, it's inaccurate, but not completely inaccurate.
it's inaccurate and adjacent. Yeah. We just decided let's go out to the Southwest. Let's go to the desert.
Yeah.
And Bria's been Googling different Addams Family pinball machines.
I sure have. We're going to hit every single one in the state.
I meant to say slot machines. I said pinball. We'll hit those too.
You do know that Addams Family pinball machines actually exist, right?
Addams Family pinball was actually...
I meant to say slot machines too.
God, we're going to win so much money. We're so good at this. Addams Family Pinball was actually one of the most largely produced pinball machines of all time.
Fun fact.
It's also my favorite pinball game I've ever played.
Yeah, mine too.
But yes, no, there are Addams Family slot machines. There are also Elvira slot machines.
There are also Beetlejuice slot machines.
Walking Dead slot machines.
Yeah, I won some money at a Walking Dead slot machine once.
Did you?
$5.
Damn, girl.
Yeah. It was a profit, so that's all that matters.
So, yeah, we're going to go out. Primarily, we're going out not only to just get out of town for a little bit, but at the
Neon Museum
in fabulous downtown Las Vegas. There is currently a Tim Burton exhibition going on.
Sure is.
So we can go see
Sandworms galore.
Beetlejuice stuff. One of my favorites, Mars Attacks.
Is there Oyster Boy stuff there?
I truly doubt it. Aww. I believe it's the films of Tim Burton.
I like Oyster Boy.
However, I'm fairly certain that we can go to an oyster bar. And I will eat as many oysters as you like. You can have all the shells.
I'll just
and
watch.
And stick them on every boy that you see.
Just
Hello, Oyster Boy. I'm Stain Girl. So, yeah, we look forward to just doing something a little outside of what we normally do next week.
Yeah. I was looking up places today, being a very responsible student during class and looking up places to go today during school time. And I always like to look up local metaphysical stores and then local oddity stores. And I found Las Vegas Oddities, which is on my list of places I'd like to go. And one of the top reviews said the last time they were there, there was a human fetus wet specimen for only $2,800. So let's just add that to our collection that I'm very fond of, but you aren't. I don't know how that's going to make it past TSA, but I'll sure as shit make sure it gets home.
I think there's only 2.5 ounces of liquid in there. I guarantee you it's not a bomb.
I'll pour the liquid out. Just like give me some plastic wrap. Let me just wrap this baby.
Oh, my God.
I'll shove it in my carry on.
All right. So, yeah, we'll be in Las Vegas next week, kids.
We're very excited to tell you all about it when we get back home.
I can't wait. I don't think that either of us will be in jail. I think we'll have made exceptionally good choices. We're going to go to Evil Pie. We're going to go to Pizza Rock. We're going to go to fucking...
we're going to go to Best Friend, Roy Choi's like new place. Yeah. I am dead set on going to Roy Choi's place.
Golden Tiki.
Hell yeah. Golden Tiki's got the best happy hour in the city. And some real good looking drinks.
How do people want to see your stuff?
How do people want to see my stuff? Oh, like on the internet? I am viewable on Instagram and Twitter at Raxby, R-A-X-B-I-I. And
R-A-X-B-I-I, that's Raxby. All your internet creeping needs. Raxby.
I'll probably post pictures of Vegas if our 7 listeners are interested in looking.
And I am the Nothing Files. If you want to see me on Instagram, I am nothing.files. If you want to see me on Twitter, I think it's just Nothing Files. I don't recall. If they want to email us.
Our email is nothingfiles@gmail.com. Our website is thenothingfiles.com, where you can find all of our episodes. Hopefully, eventually, we'll have some blog posts up, but... we did actually finish our like about page the other day, so you can go see pictures of us with our stupid dogs if you want to do that. You can support our podcast or leave us a voice message through our Anchor website, which is anchor.fm/thenothingfiles. And I don't know that you know this yet, but not only are we available on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, but maybe not all of our episodes because they're a little slow to load, but we're now available on Stitcher and Google Podcasts.
Stitcher and Google Podcasts?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? We've got like 5-6 different places you can find us now.
And 4 listeners. And
it's, yeah. Yeah. That's okay. We're doing this for us.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully some of the movies we've talked about... whether you're not familiar with them, go check them out. If you are familiar with them, maybe remind yourself of why they were great and revisit them.
Yeah.
Zombies and humor live together. Long live zombie comedies. I can't wait for some more. Some of the better films we've seen in a while. And you know what? I feel like we've been very positive lately. So maybe when we come back from Las Vegas, you're going to get a fuck list. Maybe I'll give you an episode with all the shit that I fucking hated from the trip.
Are you trying to say this episode was overwhelmingly positive? Because I would disagree with you.
I talked about upwards of 5 to 6 things that I liked.
Okay. And 7 to 8 that we didn't. That's a pretty small list for us.
That's pretty goddamn positive if you're asking me.
If you're being generous.
Thank you for tuning in. Be safe out there. I don't know. I don't have an outro. You want an outro?
Wish us luck in Vegas. I don't know.
Wish us luck in Vegas, you sons of bitches. By the time you've heard this, we've been back. So if we didn't have luck, fuck you. Should have tried harder.